Welcome to this year's 2024 UT CarWreck Seminar. This course is now in its 20th year, believe it or not, more than 20 years, actually. And the course is going stronger than ever, and there's a reason for that. This course is chock full of practical information, pragmatic, useful tips, stuff you can use when you walk out the door. And that's the difference. And that's why this course, unlike many courses today, is not struggling with attendance or interest in either speakers or attendees. How many of you here are here for your very first time in this UT CarWrecks course? How many of you have been here at least one other time over the years? We've got some repeaters. How many of you have been here three or more times total over the years? Well, we've got a few stalwarts, yes. Well, welcome back. I don't think you're going to be disappointed this year in the program. UT has, as it always does, put together a stellar program, a lot of curating with respect to topics and speakers, and whether it will be something you can actually use in your practices has gone on in multiple meetings. And now you're going to bear over the next 2 days, day and a half, really, and see the fruit of all that. So we hope you enjoy it, number one. It doesn't have to be tedious, you know. And we also hope, most importantly, you get a lot out of it, things you can actually use. And so in that same vein, we're going to jump into something right now that is pretty much on everybody's minds in the wake of a new Texas Supreme Court opinion called Gregory versus Shohan. And my co-speaker today, Mitzi Mayfield, I've known Mitzi many, many years. Mitzi's board certified in personal injury trial law, high up in Texas BOTA, member of Texas, the American College of Trial Lawyers, invitation only association, super lawyer repeat, multiple years, outstanding lawyer. She's on the defense side, I'm on the plaintiff side. So you're gonna get two perspectives today on Gregory versus Shohan. How many of you represent plaintiffs in personal injury cases? How many of you represent defendants? I would simply say, come on in, the water's fine on our side, but that's a different topic. How many of you are at least a little bit confused about the state of the law on non-economic damages after Gregory versus Shohan? If you think you know what Gregory versus Shohan means, please come up here and just talk in our stead, because you'll be some of the only people in the state who truly understand it. Well, let's jump right in. I'm going to take my seat here beside Mitzi, and Mitzi's going to give us a little bit of the background of the law leading up to Gregory versus Shohan.
So we're not going to spend a lot of time on the background of the law leading up to it, because it's in the paper. Quentin wrote the paper. It's excellent. The background is good. But we are going to start with a case in 1995 called Parkway. And in that case, it was a homeowner who sued for a house flood. And this is really the first time the Supreme Court laid out some guidelines for mental anguish damages. It was a DTPA water code violation case with negligence, gross negligence in there, and they sought mental anguish damages. And the homeowner sued, and the court ultimately ruled that you have to have direct evidence of the nature, duration, and severity of the plaintiff's mental anguish. You must establish substantial disruption in the daily routine. And the testimony that came out in that case, the husband testified that he was hot, it was very disturbing about everything. He called the guy that he was suing, "I would like to sell you my house. You flooded my property. Everything about this is just awful." The wife testified that it was very unpleasant. Their whole life had changed, caused some friction between the husband and the wife, and it upset or changed their lifestyle. Well, the court ultimately said these statements showed anger, frustration, and vexation, but they were mere emotions. And the record was devoid of any direct evidence of the nature, duration, and severity of mental anguish. So after the 1995, plaintiffs had to start actually putting on significant evidence of mental anguish damages. Then we're going to jump forward to Gregory versus Shohan, which is actually why we're here.
And you'll see in the paper, there are cases that follow in the wake of Parkway. Parkway is just the beginning in the mid-1990s. Of a concerted long-term effort by the Texas Supreme Court to raise the hurdle that plaintiffs have to clear to obtain and keep
mental anguish damages. And the hurdle keeps getting raised. For instance, in the Sines case a year after Parkway, the Texas Supreme Court says, well, jurors simply can't pick a number and put it in the blank.